Well, welcome. God bless you. Good to see you. Good to see you. Y'all look so good. Welcome to this advance, a spring advance, where we're going to sound out by singing number 185. 185, we have a story to tell the nations. I think that's true. Quite a good story. Here we go. We've a story to tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right. A story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light, a story of peace and light. For the darkness shall turn to the dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. Thank you so much for the privilege and honor it is to be your children. To be able to know a little of your word rightly divided, we're surely grateful. Thank you, Father, for making this weekend available to us. And Father, that it can be a great time of healing, of vision, of deliverance, and help. And Father, that our fellowship with you can be bettered as a result of it, and with one another. I just thank you for the health and strength of your people. And for blessing us this night because of your goodness and grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Please be seated. Well, this is why we're here. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Get comfortable. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And in verse 8, it says, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." This weekend, we're going to be looking at this, different aspects of how the word sounded out. And I thought it would be good to read 1 Thessalonians. So I'm just going to read 1 Thessalonians with you, and then we'll go over it a little bit. Chapter 1, rather, not the whole book. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we became, it should read, among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. so that you were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith or your believing to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And I want to go over some of these great scriptures in this chapter here. Of course, most of you know Thessalonians is last, and all the Greek text and all that, it's the last church epistle, but it was the first one to be written because Paul needed to know and understand the hope of Jesus Christ's imminent return to be able to do what he did and to be able to go through what he had to go through to preach the gospel and so on and so forth. In chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. Grace and peace is a thread all the way through the church epistles. Every church epistle starts with grace and peace. And if we remember that the word of God didn't come in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as God told them what to speak. And that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction, which is instruction in righteousness. This word of God, God told people what to write and they wrote it down. Nowhere else in the Old Testament or in the Gospels does any of the books start with grace and peace. There must be a reason. Grace simply means kind, affectionate, a pleasing nature, an inclining disposition, friendly willingness, an undeserved divine favor. So grace is this pleasing nature, inclining disposition. I almost said imposition. That wouldn't be right. Friendly willingness, undeserved divine favor, and peace, which means the absence of all strife. It means untroubled, undisturbed well-being. When you're at peace, you're not disturbed in the inside. When you're at peace, you're not all troubled. You're not all burdened down. You're at peace. Grace, peace. It also means forgiveness and joy. How your heart feels and how your heart is when you realize that you've been forgiven and I've been forgiven, when we've been forgiven, that realization brings tremendous peace because there's not one of us in here that's even close to perfect. Not even those of you who have memorized Revelation backwards. So this grace and this peace, right here in chapter 1, it's something, verse 1. Grace is really the only thing, if you think about it, that can bring real peace. You know why? Because Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what?
Saved.
In Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are you what? So the only way we could have gotten saved is because of God's wonderful, kind disposition, his friendly willingness to help us, to reach out to people who were without God, without hope in this world, people like us who were dead in trespasses and sins. Look, it's only God's grace that can bring real peace. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 talks about to the leadership of that time, one of the seven characteristics of a faithful minister. The first one is in verse 1. It says, my son, be strong in the grace. Not only is it by grace that we were born again, but it's by grace that we need to live and to be strong in. And also in Ephesians, if you want to go there, chapter 4. So we could never have peace without God's grace. You see it? It just, you couldn't have it. Verse 29 of Ephesians 4, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, That's what we should have coming out of our mouths. To the use of edifying or building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. To be a recipient of God's grace is like good enough. To be strong in it is great. But that God and his word would say that we could be ministers of God's grace. So we extend a friendly willingness towards others. We extend a kind, affectionate way to others. We give people undeserved divine favor. People have problems with forgiveness. Well, there are people who are not strong in grace. People who are strong in grace are very, very considerate and forgiving people. They're forgiving. Hey, I've made so many mistakes, I can't count them. I've said things that I wished I could take back. I've done things that maybe have hurt people. I don't like any of those things. So you know what I do about it? Nothing. I move on. Ask God for forgiveness, and if there's somebody I need to apologize to, I apologize and I move on. Because you can't weigh it in your heart, otherwise you can't be strong in God's grace. Can't do it. So the only way to really manifest peace, to be untroubled, undisturbed, to enjoy the forgiveness of God is to be this grace business. Back in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 2, it says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." This is great. The word always means basically every time he remembered the believers. You know, it's a great game. I play this game with my brain. Not enough. I need to do it more. But when they thought of the believers in Thessalonica, they prayed for them. What a great thing. When I think of Lance, pray for him. Esteban, pray for him. Pray. Yeah. What a great thing to do with our minds. And it helps people. So they gave thanks always, always. Every time they thought of him, they prayed for him. What a great way to live. And they made mention of him in their prayers. They thought of him, they prayed for him. They thought of him, they prayed for him. It's fantastic. Look at verse 3. "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." Remembering without ceasing. This really could read remembering with careful attention. With careful attention. Remembering with careful attention their work of believing. Their work of believing. You know, that's a great thing to pay careful attention to when somebody believes God. Work of believing. You know, it takes renewed mind in our lives to believe God's word. It takes work. And when Paul paid attention, he was paying attention to their work of believing, paying a careful attention to their believing. Go to Romans 12. It takes work to believe, right? It's by grace we're saved, but to believe connotes action, and action is a verb. If we're to believe God's word, it takes an action, and it starts with our mind to believe God and his word, which takes work. We live in a kooky world, don't we? Verse 2 says, "And be not conformed," and that means fashioned. Don't be fashioned to this world. Why? Because the god of this world is the devil, Satan. That's who's the god of this world. He is the prince of the power of the air. He runs this joint. And it says here that we're not to be conformed. We're not to be fashioned after the things of this world. Whatever. "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed," transfigured like a cocoon. A cocoon. I say that word wrong, cocoon. And a beautiful butterfly, right? The cocoon. "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you can prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." Prove means to put to test. Put to test means it takes some work to believe God's word. It does. It takes a little bit of work. Go to Colossians 3. So Paul, Silas, and Timotheus, they paid careful attention to these believers' work of faith, which means they must have shown that they were believing God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. and have put on the new man. Hey, how many of you in here are naked? Please stand up. No takers. All of us have clothes on. We put on our clothes, right? It took a little effort. I shared at our fellowship the other day. The older you get, it's kind of the more effort it takes, especially like with pants. You know, it's like, oh man. And then shoes. How do you get down to those shoestrings? That's a long way when you're 67. It's like, that didn't used to be that long down there. It takes work. But look, it says here in Colossians to put on the new man. Put on the new man, and that takes work, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, again, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness, meekness, long-suffering. I don't want to be long-suffering. God's word says put it on. I don't want to be kind. I'm in an edgy mood. I could go at any minute. Put it on. These are not requests from God, by the way. These are basically commands. Put it on. Then we have the choice whether we do it or not. But God wants us to do that. He wants us to put on the new man. He wants us to do these things. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 24. It says, in that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So you can see there's some sort of effort that God requires of us as believers to put on the word of God, to test it by believing it. That's what they did, and that's what took the work. And they paid careful attention to their work of believing. They saw these wonderful believers in Thessalonica, and they admired them so much. They prayed for them every time they thought of them. And they thought, oh man, they paid careful attention. Look at how they're believing God. What a great thing to pay attention to instead of somebody's mistakes or whatever. Pay attention to how they believe God. Verse 3 of 1 Thessalonians 1. And then it says, and labor of love. Labor of love. Boy, oh boy. Paul remembered how they loved, but how it took labor. Look, it's not always convenient to be loving, but it's always good to be loving. And it takes hard work sometimes because we live in a dark, cruel world. And God's word says we're to love, even as also we're loved. So their labor of love, Paul remembered that they labored. This means hard work that could result in fatigue. Labor of love. And it takes hard work to stay loving in a negative, cruel world. But it's available. And then it says, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, patience means steadfastness. It means endurance. You don't wear out. Not swerving. It's patient enduring. Paul thanked God for their patience of the hope of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes back to gather his saints, where there'll be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears, no more heartaches, no more anxiousness, no more worries, no more doubts, no more fears, no more tears. He's coming back. It could be tonight. We don't know when he's coming, but we know that he's coming because the word of God says so. And Paul was very thankful for their patience of hope. Patience of hope. Verse 4 of chapter 1 says, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of who? God. Election of God. Election means chosen or selection. In Colossians 3, verse 12, it's right to your left a little bit probably. It says, put on, we read that, therefore, as the elect of God. We've been chosen of God. We have been selected by God. We have been selected. You know, you might have some ideas about some of these things, but God's word says we are selected. God's word says it, so that's what I'm going to say. He selected us. He chose us. And it's a tremendous thing. Ephesians 1:4, you don't have to go there. It says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we could be holy and without blame before him in what? Well, he'd been selected, elected, not infected or rejected. Not disconnected. No. We have been elected. That's the truth. And that's a pretty great thing to think of all the people. You ever play sports and you might be the worst athlete there. And so, you know, there's 15 guys. Of course, that's how it used to be. Now there's nobody in the parks. But, you know, then you choose upside. You get on teams, right? And, you know, first two guys get chosen. You're like the fifth guy that gets chosen. And you feel bad that you were selected that late. God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, chose us. He selected us. And I'm happy with that. Aren't you? Chosen by the creator of the heavens and the earth? Are you hearing that? I'm hearing it. I hear you. Look at verse 5. It says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. For our gospel, the good news, the mystery, the glad tidings that came from Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus. Boy, the gospel came not in word only, but also in what? Power. In power. And in the Holy Ghost. And in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were or became among you for your sake. Anybody can quote scriptures. Anybody can talk about the word. You could talk about the mystery. You could talk about this. You could talk about that. And you could be accurate as the day is long, and I thank God for the accuracy. But their gospel did not come in word only. Is that what it says? That's what it means. Didn't come in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. See? Anybody can quote scriptures, but if there's no godly power or there's no fruit in a person's life, what good is it? A long time ago in the early 60s and late 50s, I think they were called the Premier of Russia. I don't know. Somebody can correct me. It's fine. Won't be the last time I'm corrected. Was that what they called them? Who was Nikita Khrushchev? The premier, okay. Evidently, Nikita Khrushchev, a communist, had memorized the entire Gospels. Now, I haven't done that. I don't know what good it did him. Look, their gospel didn't come in word only, but it came in power, 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 and in the Holy Ghost. They saw Paul. They saw Silas. They saw Timothy. And you know what they saw? They saw men walk with God. They saw men who walked with God's power. They operated the nine manifestations of the Spirit. They were not up in an ivory tower waiting for somebody to come to them. They weren't people who would just throw out scriptures every day. They were people who walked, people who walked their talk and talked their walk. They spoke about the power of God and they manifested the power of God. They spoke about the nine manifestations and they operated the nine manifestations. This isn't a game, people. This is God's word. And it's given to every single believer. Same power, same God, same stuff. You got Holy Spirit, spoken tongues, and you can hear it. And that's good. They saw him operate the manifestations. And it says with much assurance. You know what that means? They were confident. They were confident. And it means most certain confidence. They walked. They walked with God. That's why that impression was so great. It wasn't just they came with the Gospels. No, no. They operated the manifestations of the Spirit. They knew who they were as sons of God. They walked righteously. They walked in the fullness of their redemption, of their sanctification. They knew who they were in Christ. They were confident in their walk. Okay. Boy, this stuff, people just quote scripture. Anybody can teach a jackass to quote a scripture. You can quote scriptures till the cow comes home, but if there's no godly fruit, if there's no power, no revelation, what good is it? God has fully equipped us as believers, every single one of us. Their gospel didn't come in word only, but power of the Holy Ghost. They weren't messing around. They were walking. They knew who they were. They knew where they were. They knew who they were with. They didn't monkey around. Okay. And these people in Thessalonica, they saw these men. They weren't in their offices all day. They were out with the people. They observed them walking with God. They knew what manner of men that these believers had become for their sake. They knew because they saw it. If God's word is ever going to sound out, the operation of the manifestations have to be going with all the believers moving, moving, moving. People need to see God's power manifested. You know, I remember in the class, a power for abundant living. Dr. Werwell said, the more you speak in tongues in your private prayer life, what's the next part? The more dynamic your life will be. So speak in tongues much in your private prayer life. Just today, you know, God is so timely, right? Just today, I received a text from Kate Williams. She said, please pray that this weather, which was thunder, lightning, bad winds, tornadoes, can go away. 150 about of us were setting up today, which is kind of cool in itself. And we met at 3:15, we prayed, and I prayed a quick prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke the devil from this storm, or whatever I said. And then after that, I said, you know, it's easy to say that, but you got to believe, right? I believed. I didn't get to that exit sign back there where Kate wrote, it's all gone. It went away. That's the power of God. That's not words. That's not words. Same God in you is in me. I'm no big deal. I'm a son of God just like you. Hey. They didn't come with words only, but power. Hey. This is great. We get to be together, and I just love it. But you know, what good is it if we don't walk on God's word, if we don't love, if we don't believe? You see, anybody can talk. But that just today, that was nice. All right, verse 6. And you know, they became that way among the believers for their sake. You know, it says we're to be all things to all men. We don't... I almost used the word pimp, but, you know, they didn't try to, anyway, they were real. They didn't dress up in a purple uniform, you know, with 10 necklaces on and jumping up and down on stage. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I mean, I got nothing against that. I kind of think it'd be cool if it was right, if it was right. Verse 6. And it says, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Wow. Ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. That's an interesting thing there. Followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. Well, Philippians 4. Let's look at this a little bit. Philippians 4, verse 9. Philippians 4, verse 9. It says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Why? Because Paul walked with God. Paul wanted them to get blessed like he was getting blessed. They wanted them to learn, to observe, to see how they walk, so that they could walk that way themselves. And people need to see us walking before people can really go to following God. Listen to this. They got to learn from people. You don't just one day wake up in the morning and God teaches you a sermon. Because he's spirit. You can't see him, hear him, taste him, smell him, or whatever, you know, all that stuff. So let's take an example. When you went to school your first few years, your teacher, and I'll remember Mrs. Kloa, she was fantastic, my first grade teacher. I just could not conceive 2 + 2 = 4. I didn't get it. Yeah, go ahead and laugh. It's all right. I'm an easy target. I didn't get it. So this wonderful lady, Mrs. Kloa, who was also my father's first grade teacher, she was aged, and she brought 4 apples, and she counted them. 1, 2, 3, 4. She said, count those. I said, 1, 2, 3, 4. I said, okay. Now there's 2 over here, and there's 2 over here. How many apples are there? I said, 4. She goes, you got it. So she helped me. I learned from my teacher. Maybe you didn't get anything from that, but it helped me learn how to add. And I learned how to add. And I learned how to speak. I learned how to write. I learned how to print within the framework of those big old things they gave us. And they had these pencils that were about 10 pounds, full of lead. Lead poisoning was great back then. You chew them, you know. And then you'd glow at night. So you learn from school. You learn from your parents. I mean, you learn from your parents. You look at this little baby. And maybe they get a little older and they're like, you know, 5 months. And then they start smiling when you smile. They mimic you. You say goo-goo and they, you know, and you go, oh, did you hear that? Said goo-goo. They didn't really. They just say, but you knew it was goo-goo. They imitate you as a parent. Your children imitate you as a parent. In athletics, same thing. I was bad before I could learn how to be good. And I learned from the people that taught me how to be an athlete, what it would require, what kind of work I'd need to do, what kind of repetition, things like that. We do it in the world. We follow. We follow our boss or we have to get another job. We follow. We're constantly following. So Romans 10 is really nice. Romans chapter 10. I could hardly wait for this day to get here. It's so hard, like 3 days before this for me. Oh my God. Ay, ay, ay. Chapter 10, verse 13 of Romans. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved.
How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How could you call on him who you haven't believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a what? Nobody's going to hear anything unless the word gets spoken. Nobody's going to see anything unless people believe God's word. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of the gospel of good things. And look at verse 17. You keep going. It says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? How do you hear the word? Somebody's got to teach it. Somebody's got to share it. Somebody's got to live it. Back at Thessalonians, look at this again. They won't ever be able to follow God unless they hear God's word from somebody. Might as well be us. What we say, how we act, how we live, how we conduct ourselves in our lives. You know, you could put on a big show for people. And that's nice. We all like big shows. But what are you like in your real life? When nobody's around, what's your character? People need to see Christ. And they aren't going to see him unless they see it in people who believe God's word like you. The world so desperately needs you. They need us. Not to be
a jackass or the clown of the party. Smokey Robinson said, people say I'm the life of the party because I tell a joke or few, but deep inside I'm blue. Look, we should be so blessed, so thankful, so confident in God's ability in us. I'm no good at anything, but I can believe God's word. Yeah, I could tell you the 1964 St. Louis Cardinals starting lineup, but that's not, what good is that going to do?
You Julian Javier fans, you know, of course, no one. Anyway, people are never going to learn God's word unless they learn it from people like you or people like me. Let them see Christ, though. Let them see Christ. I'm so thankful for all of your lives that you came, in spite of the weather and all that. It took an effort on your part. Well, make it worth your while by believing the word that's shared. Then it'll really be worth your while. They became followers of us. And the word followers is the word imitators. And it says in Ephesians 5:1 that we're to imitate God as his dear children. We're to follow God as his dear children. And it says, you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. That sounds odd. One, you know, affliction. The other, joy. Affliction means pressure. It means tribulation, stress, anxiety, you know, mental pressure, troubles, you know. These wonderful believers here in Thessalonica received the word of God, but in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost. Go to Acts 17. Acts chapter 17 is a record of these believers in Thessalonica. Acts 17. And let's see. Maybe we'll get a better understanding of what Thessalonians is talking about. It says here in verse 1, it says at 17:1, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. See, Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went unto them, and three Sabbath days, that means 3 weeks, reasoned with them, or they had a dialogue with them out of the scriptures. They shared the word for 3 weeks, sharing the scriptures with these believers. And you know what? That was as his manner was. That's how he was. That's how he was. Like when you're at the laundromat and you see somebody, you speak the word. You're at a restaurant, you speak the word. The mailman, you speak the word. You just speak the word. To your neighbor, speak the word. There's this guy down the block from me named Pete. Big Pete. He's big. And he was a Middlesex sheriff. And he was a nasty guy. And years ago, Dean came flying down the street way too fast. And Pete was on the porch with his cop buddies, half drunk. And he said, slow down, you effing a-hole. How's that for cleaning it up? And I wasn't there at the time. I was getting more mulch for Diane. And when I got back, somebody told me that he had said that. And I said, Father, what do I do? And so I thought, okay, I'm going to go talk to him. And I went up to him and I said, Pete, the guy you yelled at and you said is an effing a-hole, that's not true. You never talk to one of our people like that. You never. He's a son of God. He goes, well, he was speeding. I said, then you should have told him to slow the F down. We had an understanding. And I'll tell you something, ever since that day, he has respected me. You stand for God's people. You don't monkey around. So Paul, as his manner was, went unto them, and he shared the word with them from the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again. There it is, the resurrection. From the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is who? And some of them, what? They believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. All kinds of people believed. It's pretty cool. But the Jews, which believed not, they moved with envy, and they took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company and set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason. Remember, they received the word in much affliction. You remember that? This couldn't have been pleasant. They were upset with these believers. They were upset with this stuff. And when they found them not, they drew Jason, verse 6, and certain brethren into the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the whole world upside down, there come thither also, whom Jason hath received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there's another one, another king, one Jesus." And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. Look, that's affliction. That's not easy. Thank God we live in the United States of America, where we haven't had this problem in a long time. We used to. They troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security, which means they bailed Jason out, and of the other, they let him go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. Paul and Silas were not planning on leaving that night. They might have been having a cocktail. I don't know what they were doing, but they were planning on leaving. But they got out of there that night. Got it? Who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Look, the word envy in verse 5, where it says they were moved with envy, that means to be heated, to be boiled over with hatred and anger. This was not a casual thing. These people were angry. And it also means heart-burning jealousy. Man. And then it says, envy, they took unto them certain lewd fellows. Lewd means wicked. Means derelicts. It means malicious, vicious, grievous. So you get the idea that this wasn't a pleasant party. These men were committed to causing trouble. Yep. You know how there's riots once in a while these days, you know, and you see all these hundreds of, it's usually one or two people that stir up everybody by their devil spirits. So we can see there very clearly how when they received the word of God, it wasn't necessarily easy. Receiving the word was easy, but what was going on was very difficult. And they received it with joy. They received it with joy because they were meek to God's word. Go to verse 7 of 1 Thessalonians 1. 1 Thessalonians 1, 7. They received it. It wasn't easy, but they received God's word with joy. Verse 7 says, "So that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." These believers in Thessalonica, the word examples means to make an imprint. That'll probably be shared a little later in the weekend. But they made an impact on people by their lives, by their stands on God's word. They made an example. They made an impact. We want to make an impact on people. I want to, in a good way. I want to help people. I want my life to be an imprint on people in a good way, not a bad way. But these believers made an imprint on these people, on the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. And look at verse 8. It says, and here's the theme for this weekend, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith, the Godward, is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." This word of God sounded out. The word sound out means to sound forth. It means to resound. And it also, I love this one, it means to echo, 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 echo. It echoed, 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 echoed out. This word of God sounded out or echoed forth everywhere their believing was. Everywhere they were believing God, it sounded out. They learned, first of all, from following these men that taught them, and then they believed the word themselves, and they made an imprint, not only to the church that was in Macedonia and Achaia, but every place it echoed, sounded out everywhere, sounded out. Amen. They learned from following these guys and by observing them, like Timothy and Silas and Paul, and their believing, their work of believing, their labor of love, their patience of the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ was such a tremendous example. It sounded out. It echoed out. It's something. Look at verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols that serve the living and true God. They changed from having something else as God in their life to having the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ be the head, be number one. And an idol isn't just necessarily something that's made with a statue or a stone or something. It's anything and everything that we place above God. We don't want idols in our lives. Sometimes people make people their idol. Sometimes people make money their idol. Sometimes people make anything their idol. Anything but God. Computer games. Yeah. So, they changed from serving idols to serving the living and true God. And there sure was a lot of things in this chapter that indicated what they were. And again, verse 10 says now, and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. This word of God sounded out. This word of God echoed forth. In Acts 2, after 50 days before being behind closed doors for fear of the Jews, these 12 followed what the Lord Jesus Christ said. The result of them following was they spoke in tongues and they were filled with the power of the Holy Ghost for the very first time in the history of mankind. And all those were there at that festival who were there from different places, spoke different languages. All of them heard them speak in their tongue the wonderful works of God. Every time we speak in tongues, we're speaking the wonderful works of God. You want to talk about echoed forth? Some finally said, what should we do to be saved? Peter said in Acts 2, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, for the remission of the sins. For this promise is unto you and your kids and all that are far, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And here we sit in Huguenot, New York. You think it echoed forth? It sure did. We're here. Acts chapter 3, a man that was born lame from his mother's womb, who was above 40 years old, saw Peter and John walk into that temple. And Peter and John said, look on us. And he fastened his eyes upon them. And they said, look, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get up. And they helped him with the right hand. And this man went walking, leaping, praising God. These guys got a little heat for that, little affliction for that. But you know what? About 5,000 believed as a result of that notable miracle. Yeah. In Acts 5, verse 12, it talks about how the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done by them and wrought forth among the people. And multitudes, it says, multitudes believed as a result of this notable miracle. This word sounded out. It echoed out because people walked with God. Acts chapter 8 follows 7 and 6, where they had stoned Stephen to death. What were the believers' response? Well, they moved to different places. Some moved to Samaria, which was probably not as nice as their homes. They had to get up. They had to move. And they moved and they spoke the word. They spoke Christ unto them. Then Philip went and he visited them. Philip, who arguably was one of Stephen's best friends, they waited tables together and all this stuff. He preached Christ unto them. And by the hands of Philip, many signs and wonders were done by him. He kicked out spirits. He healed people. And then it says, you know what? There was great joy in the city. It doesn't matter what the makeup of the city is if the word of God is alive.
I don't care if you live, let's pick a place nobody lives. I don't know, a bad place. Let's pay a bad place. But if the Word of God is alive in our hearts, then doggone it, we can turn that place upside down, like they've done in Atlanta, like they've done in Cherry Hill and other places, Idaho, Florida. Your lives make a difference. Your lives make a difference. But when you're walking with God and by the power of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit, boy, it really makes a difference. Because then it's just not taught. Their gospel didn't come because of the words they spoke, but in power. They walked. People walk. You can walk. Believe God. Urgent care is a new thing. Everybody runs to urgent care every 30 minutes. And they say, well, I think we've got a problem. Thank you. Here's penicillin. Well, great. Go home and have a nice day. And you feel better because you went to the doctor. I feel better when I get prayed for first. So, how about Acts 9? Paul gets converted. This guy who murdered believers, who went and hailed men and women out, dragged them out of their house and brought them to jail. I wouldn't want that guy coming to my house. I wouldn't want to, yeah, right, he's a believer. Give him time. Let me know in a couple years how this goes, because he ain't coming into my house. But this man walked, and because a certain disciple, not an apostle, not a prophet, not a certain disciple, a believer, what was his name, Ananias? God says, this guy's, wait, whoa. Do you know God? Do you know who this guy is? And God said, yes, he's chosen of mine. So he did what God told him to do. And boy, do you think that the word is echoed forth as a result of that one certain disciple believing the revelation that God gave him? Holy mackerel, here we sit. The man who was given the mystery. The man who was, who God taught the mystery to. How about Acts 10? Acts 10. Here's Cornelius and the Italians. Any Italians in here?
Hey.
They brought all their friends and family. You know, I love it. But boy, Cornelius, he prayed. He was faithful to prayer, and God was faithful to answer. He helped Peter, who was like, no, I am not new Gentile. So he shows him this picture of this sheep. I still don't understand these animals and all this stuff. I'd pass out if God showed me that. I wouldn't know what to do with that. You got the wrong guy over there. So Peter listens. He goes to the house of Cornelius and all their friends and family. I could just picture these wonderful Italians. Big meal. It's Peter. Oh, Peter, come on. Oh, sit right here. And Peter shared the word. He shared the word. And he realized that God was no respecter of persons. And these people got born again, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. They spoke in tongues and they prophesied. Sounded out. Boy, you can go all through the book of Acts. You can go through wherever you want to go through. Go through the Gospels. Go through the Old Testament and watch God work. Watch God's power work. And I say, why don't you watch Him work in your life? Why not? Nobody here is that great, but we all know that God's that great. And that's a big thing. So I want you to go back to Thessalonians. If we're still there, we'll go there. And we'll just read it again. It says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of believing, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were or became among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord,
having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith, the God word, is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. These men prayed for the believers. They were strong in prayer. They prayed for the believers. Whenever they thought of them, they prayed for them. And they had a great attitude and meekness receiving God's word. They did. They received God's word from these men. And that's a tremendous thing. They received it with meekness, and they had a great attitude. Another thing they were great examples. These believers in Thessalonica were tremendous examples to the believers in Thessalonica, but also in Macedonia and Achaia, everywhere that went, you know. And another thing they did is they spoke God's word. They had to. And it echoed forth. It sounded out. And another thing they had was great love and compassion. If we don't have love, then what good is any of it, really? It's not very good at all. But to walk in the love of God and renewed mind and manifestation, to be able to receive God's word with a heart filled with eagerness to know and to want to grow with God, you see, it's just the greatest life that we have. And we can be those examples and our examples to others. And have confidence in God and that he works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure because he wants to. Not because he feels compelled, because you're his kid. If your son should ask you a stone, are you going to give, if he asks you an eggnog, whatever that is, you don't feed him a scorpion or feed him a stone. You give him ice cream and cookies, right? If they ask you for something, you try to help them. You try to bless them. Well, our God's bigger than us as parents. Way, 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 way bigger. So keep your hearts tender. Walk within the framework of the love of God. And let your life echo forth to whoever and wherever it might go with the word of God living in you, with the mystery alive in your life, with you operating the manifestations of the Spirit. Father, thank you for your love and grace. Thank you for the privilege it is to be able to share your word with anybody. And especially tonight, boy, it was sure great, Father. Thank you for these wonderful people, for their hearts being peaceful, and for them to enjoy your grace. Thank you, Father, for your word that speaks so much more loudly than we can. And Father, that word can echo forth and sound forth all over the world. I pray, Father, for our health and strength and soundness of mind. I pray for providing rest for everybody who needs good rest tonight so that we can come tomorrow and just expect to hear more of your word that will really help us in our lives and our fellowship with you and with one another and also to share the word with others. So thanks, God, again, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.